Good morning.
Isn't God perfect in all his ways? All the time, right? I hope today you realize that you are richly blessed. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. I'm going to be in a couple of other places, but that's kind of where we're going to camp out. We're going to talk about something that's not so often talked about in the church. Whether it's a fear of offending somebody or whatever else it might be, we're going to talk about giving this morning. We're not so much going to talk about tithes and offerings, but just the attitude of giving. And the reason why we talk about giving is because your Lord and Savior gave everything for each and every one of you. Did you know that really the only time that God says to test him, it's about giving? Here, I'm going to read here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room will not be room enough to store it. God says to test him and see if he doesn't open the floodgates of heaven. It all stems from giving. Giving what? Not just money, not just financially, but giving your time. All those things, it must be an attitude of giving. See, each and every one of us here today, I hope we can agree that we are richly blessed by God. Amen. See, there may be people who might not think that they are blessed. Believers might not think they've been blessed by God. So let me tell you, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are richly blessed. If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, that is your counselor, your comforter, your advocate, your helper, you are richly blessed. Just on those things alone, you are a richly blessed person. You might not have a single dollar amount in your bank account, but if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are blessed beyond measure. Blessed beyond measure. See, if you have all those things, if you are blessed, then you should be giving. You should be. It comes down to this question. I really want you to focus on this question right here. Because if this is all you left with, it would be good. If you asked this question in your head over and over and over again, it would be good. The question is, what are you doing with God's blessings? Are you using them to influence the kingdom of God? Or are you using them to influence yourself? Are you using those blessings for your own selfish gain? I hope not. I hope you use every single thing that God gives you to influence not your own kingdom, but the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom that matters. His kingdom is the kingdom that matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. There's no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that the service last year, you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I'm sending you the brothers in order that your boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we not to say anything about you would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for your generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. I like how Paul here puts your eagerness to give. Each and every one of us should be eager to give, eager to help one another, and to be ready to give. I'm going to ask you, are you ready to give? Are you ready to give whatever God asks you to? Whether that is so extreme of being, give all you possess to the poor? Seems like a hard concept to understand. Why? Because we cling to the things we have. We cling to those things that we think are ours because we worked for them. God has given you everything. Everything on earth is His. Everything that you do, God blessed. Those finances in your bank account, that free time you have, God's given it to you. What are you doing with those things? Giving should be on our minds. We should be looking for people to give. See, James tells us that true, pure religion is this: helping the widow and the orphan. Helping the widow and the orphan. Are we helping the widow and orphan today, church? Are we giving like the early church? Are we giving like these Corinthians did? Just to put this in context, see, the Corinthians said to Paul, we're going to give this gift, right? We're going to give this gift to you guys so that you could do your mission. They're getting ready to give a big gift. And Paul is sending the brothers to make sure that this happens. Sometimes we need people to encourage us to give. Sometimes we get stuck in this rut over and over and over again that, okay, we pay the bills, we do this, we do that, and then maybe whatever else we are able to give to somebody. See, let's move on. Verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. So are you a person that freely gives, or do you give reluctantly? Or like this, you give something, but man, I wish I wouldn't have gave that much. Right? Maybe I don't have quite what I need. See, here Paul's telling us that God provides everything that we need. God is your provider, God is your sustainer. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So many people are okay with giving, but their hearts aren't right with their gift. Does that make sense? They go about and they have the money to give, which is good, because God has given it to them, but man, they're not cheerful about it. Or they boast about it. You ever hear those types of people? Who boast about the gifts that they've given? What is their right to boast about it if God has given it to them? If anyone deserves the boasting, it's God Himself. If anyone deserves the praises for your gift, it's God Himself. So are you able to give freely, or are you a reluctant giver? Verse 10. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Why does God give us so much? Why does God bless us so much? It's so that you can give on every occasion. What does every occasion mean? That means when you're down in the dumps, you can give. That means when you're high up on the mountain, you can give. See, God blesses us so that we can give on every occasion. God gives us so we do not lack anything. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't lack anything. You have eternity. You have a life more abundant when you trust in God for what you need. A life more abundant. See, God always provides for the giver. Like I said in Malachi, he says, test me on this. Test me on this and see if I don't open the floodgates of heaven. See, God loves that cheerful giver. He loves a person who is ready to just give whenever God calls him to. I just kind of want to put this into perspective just because it's so pressed right now. We have mission teams coming from basically all over, coming to help this church, giving their money on some occasions. You know that? You know that we had a mission team bring us a financial need that their children collected. God loves a cheerful giver. They came, they took a week. Most of us can't even do that. Took a week out of their own vacation to come and help do a mission. What's that mission? To provide for the kingdom of God. To help the kingdom of God. So what are we doing, church? Are we helping the kingdom of God? Are we laying bricks for the kingdom of God? Are we laying bricks for our own lives? Are we building up treasures on earth rather than in heaven? God always provides for the giver. Here in verse 12. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everything else. And with everything else, and in their prayers for you and their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. See, your giving doesn't only just affect you. Obviously, right? You're giving to somebody else. That's what giving is. You affect so many things. See, the Corinthians affected a whole city, a whole church in Macedonia with just their giving. See, maybe you're still a person saying, well, I just don't have anything to give. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I completely understand that. I do. See, if we look just the chapter before, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12 says this. It says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. It does not matter what you have. It matters if you're willing to give. Are you willing to give? Are you willing to give the shoes off your feet for someone who needs them? The shirt off your back. I'm sure most of us have heard that. See, three things that a believer gets when he gives. You wouldn't think, I mean, you're the one giving. You wouldn't think you would get something, but you do, because God blesses the giver. Number one is joy. When you are a cheerful giver, God gives us joy. Joy that is everlasting. Joy that does not waver when bad circumstances come. Can you imagine a joy that only God can give you? Number two, growth. Growth. See, when you start to give, you take one step closer to the one who gave it all. When you start to give, you get a little taste of what God has already done for you. God sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He's given you grace that none of us in this room deserve. He's given us mercy that none of us in this room deserve. But God freely gives. Therefore, you should freely give everything, your life, to God. Be living sacrifices to the Lord. 3, testimony. See, when you begin to give, you get to see sometimes, not always, sometimes what God is doing with that gift. See, when the mission teams come, they get to see the progress of what they've given, their time or money, whatever. See, so we get to see God move. See, so many of us are just stuck with that one testimony. That one testimony of what God's done in your life and that has saved you. What an amazing testimony that is. That shouldn't be the only testimony you have. And when you begin to give, when you begin to grow with Christ, you get other testimonies. You get to say, look what God is doing with just my obedience. Are you giving the basic obedience to God? What are you doing to influence the kingdom of God? See, the Holy Spirit has given each and every single one of you a gift. A gift. A gift not to be shoved down in the dirt, but a gift to be used. A gift to be given. What are you doing with that gift? If you have the gift of encouragement, who are you encouraging? If you have the gift of evangelizing, who are you evangelizing to? If you have the gift of giving, what are you giving? Don't be a proud giver, but a humbled giver. There are too many people who are proud givers, who will take their time and they'll flaunt it in the air and say, look what I have done. Or they'll take that big check. You've seen them. They're like 10 feet long, 4 feet high. Look what I have given. Be humbled about your giving. See, there are people within the church and outside the church that need people ready to give. If so simple, the gift of your own testimony. Are you even willing to give that? Today, church, are you willing to at work go and proclaim the gospel with boldness and confidence, knowing with assurance what Jesus Christ has already done for you, that He would also do the same thing for somebody else? God loves each and every single one of us, therefore He blesses us. Blesses us beyond measure. See, the Bible even speaks of He blesses us unmeasurably. That when you ask Him, He'll give you more. We don't deserve that kind of grace. We don't deserve that kind of mercy. We don't deserve that kind of blessing. But we have a God in heaven that loves each and every one of us. And I think this speaks so loud for churches today. That if the church is not dealing with broken people, the church is broken. I praise God that I'm a part of a church that loves broken people. Because I was once broken. And I know some of you have been in that same spot. Broken at your lowest point, but God had reached His hand out and pulled you from the pit right beside Him. See, we should be eager, willing, ready to give. I'll share a story with you that I've honestly never really felt the Holy Spirit pull as hard as what He did when it comes to giving to somebody. I was sitting here, and I don't even remember what the message was on, but the Holy Spirit was prodding me to give to this one family. This one family who I knew needed it. I did not know how much to give. It didn't matter how much I give. All that mattered was that I was willing to give it. And it goes the same. I came down the altar, I prayed, God, what do you want me to give to this family? I never got an answer. I'm sitting here waiting and waiting. My wife can testify to it. She was concerned. She didn't even know what was going on. I said, we got to go to the bank. We have to go to the bank. He said, why? I said, I got to give to this family. And I can't even remember if she asked, but well, how much do we have to give? I don't know. So I go to the ATM, and I take this money out. I just hit a button, hoping that I have. Now, at this time, I mean, I worked at Kroger, you know, I still lived at home, you know, didn't have all the bills, because I can see the stress. I know the stress. I had $15 left after I gave all this money. You become worried. I only got $15 left. What am I going to do? But God provided for me. He provided me for that week. And I can promise you this, that God will provide for you. If you're willing to give, you can give $5 if that's what God has prodded you to give. And that would be a blessing. It does not matter the amount that you give. It matters that you're willing to give. It's not the amount that you don't have, it's the amount that you do have. And like I said, if you just had the two things that I mentioned, if all you had was a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, you are richly blessed. Remember that. Never go around telling people that, man, I am just not blessed. I feel like I'm just down in the dirt, because you have the story that changes people's lives. Changes your own life. As long as you're willing to give that. See, I wonder if today we're just giving our testimony to people. When is the last time you've given your testimony to somebody? The last time at work, maybe somebody asked this question and you knew without a doubt that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, wanted you to tell them about Him, but you backed away. I remember a time that I was up at the mall and we were doing these silly things. And the last thing was to share the gospel with somebody. What the most points? Nobody did it. And I knew that God wanted me to do it to somebody. And He sent the person right in front of me to do it. And what did I do? I turned away from it. See, there's one more thing that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Conviction. Praise God that the Holy Spirit convicts us. Praise God He convicts us to change our lives, to confess our sin, to repent from our sins. Because where would we be if we didn't do those things? You want to get closer to God? Give. You want to see what God can do? Give. I'm not saying you got to empty your bank account. God gives us things so that we can provide for ourselves. Those things? Never trust in those things. Trust in the Lord Christ. Trust in Him alone and things will be given to you. This isn't a prosperity message. I'm not saying give $19.95 in 3 payments and the Lord's going to bless you. What I'm saying is God loves His children. God loves the believer. And God loves the believer so much He wants to give to the unbeliever that they might become believers. See, the church did it so well. It did it so well. They gave so people were equal. And I'm not here to tell you about communism, because there's something really different about communism and what the early church did. See, what the early church did was all voluntary. What a beautiful thing. They gave because they knew it was what they were supposed to do with each other. That's not what communism is. Never let somebody tell you that's what the early church was, because it wasn't. They gave because God wanted them to give. And God wants each and every one of us to give. Don't think I just got to give to my friends and family, because that's not really who God just wants you to give to. God wants you to give to your enemies. He wants you to give to the people who might seem unlovable. He wants you to give to the people who do not look like you. Why? Because it brings people closer to God. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I hope when you come into the church house and you see these verses, you don't just read them, but you let them inside your heart. So that you might become better as a Christian. See, giving is something that's an attitude. It has to be thought about. It's not something that just happens. It's a willingness. You have to be willing to do it. See, when we begin to give, it becomes easier. I'm telling you, if you just give a little at first, God will start trusting you with more and more things. When much is given, much is required. Do you understand that this morning, church? That God has given you so much, much is required from you. That's a big responsibility. Because when I think about what God has given me, what God has entrusted with me, man, how pressed I should feel. How pressed I should feel to give that to somebody else. This message wasn't so much, but I think God is leading it this way, about sharing the gospel. We need to start sharing the gospel. Not just at church. Throughout your day-to-day life. In your own families. At your job. At your school. Wherever that may be, we should be proclaiming the gospel with every fiber of our being, because we know the two places where someone might go. Either they're going to hell or they're going to heaven. And the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And if you know the message of Jesus Christ, why are you not proclaiming it? Hard things to hear. So are you giving like you should? Are you influencing the kingdom of God? Maybe you can ask God, well, what should I give? I'm not here to tell you to give this amount of money, this amount of money. It doesn't matter what I tell you. It matters what God Himself is prodding at you to give. That could just be 15 minutes. 15 minutes in His Word. Can you give 15 minutes just to read His Word? You know what 15 minutes could do in God's Word? 15 minutes. Change a whole person's life. 15 minutes can change a whole person's life. Could be a drug addict, a person who has alcoholism. It doesn't matter. Can change a person's whole life with 15 minutes. And I'll go even 3 minutes. 3 minutes. You know what 3 minutes maybe of your own testimony could do to your coworker who's an atheist? Who doesn't even believe that there is a God? Can you give 3 minutes of your testimony? 3 minutes. 30 seconds. What I'm trying to say is, once you start giving 30 seconds, you'll give a minute. Once you start giving a minute, you'll give 10 minutes. And so on and so forth, until you just see God moving mountains. See, the problem is, it's not so much that God's not blessing us. It's more of, we're not really seeing it. Sometimes we just look past God's blessing. You think about it for just a moment. How many things that God blesses us that go unthanked? Things you might not thank God for, that He just does for you. He gives you life. Sometimes I forget to thank Him for waking up. Are you a cheerful giver? Think about those three things when you go to give. You become joyful. You start to grow as a Christian. And you get to see God move. So as we stand, we'll go ahead and close out with an altar call here.